Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You, and we will continue right on here with Antonio Petrich, basically talking about the history of women getting the right to vote and many other things that relate to that. It happens to be Women's History Month, but it's really a 12-month affair, as I see it.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's not just this month. It's a 12-month deal. And, you know, we kind of... We're probably some steps ahead of a lot of the world, but for the most part, there are many countries in this world where women are still back where we were 200 years ago. And unfortunately, as they say, you can only eat an elephant one bite at a time, and I think that's all you can do. And you can't change the world, but you can definitely work on what we do here. Yeah,
yes.
And you can try, right.
Well, when I give presentations, and what I do at the end of my presentation is I have a list of the countries that gave, when they gave women the vote. And the one that surprises me the most is Switzerland. Women in Switzerland did not get the vote till 1971.
Really? Wow.
And I tend to think of, tend to think of Switzerland as being advanced and very democratic, and 1971...
But kind of a staid atmosphere, if you will.
Yeah.
You know? We talked offline a little bit here that next year is the year that national rights to vote took place, right?
There were, again, as we said, there were two paths, and one of the paths was state by state. So by 1913, 1914, there were about 12 states where women had the right to vote. Then when New York State got the vote in 1917, there were more states, but it still wasn't enough to really facilitate any changes because there were many, many states and thousands and millions of women that didn't have the vote. So the push was for an amendment to the Constitution that would just sweep across the country and give women the rights to vote. So that's eventually what happened.
Now, I heard mixed...
And that's next year in August of 2020.
Next August, is there a specific date or?
The amendment was ratified on August 18th. But it was not, when you have an amendment to the Constitution, you have to have, I believe it's the Secretary of State actually physically enter it into the Constitution, and that was done on August 26th.
Right. Now, one of the things that I hear and have seen things in movies about is Theodore Roosevelt's involvement in this whole thing. Was it a plus or a minus?
Well, in the beginning, it was Theodore Roosevelt, when he was president, he and his wife were both very lukewarm about suffrage. They really, as many wealthy people, did not see the need for it. I mean, why do you need the vote? You can ask your husband. You can ask your son to vote for you. You can influence their votes. Give me a break, try that. Let's look at that.
That wouldn't work with my wife either.
So, but then he wasn't against it, but he wasn't really a supporter until 1912, when he decided to run again for president on the Bull Moose ticket. And then he decided, 20 million additional votes, possible votes,
right,
might
politics.
Not be bad. And he did then become a very strong proponent for suffrage. And he was until he died. He died in 1919.
1919.
Yeah.
So he died before this became officially amended for the nation.
In January or February of 1919.
Yeah. But he did take some convincing.
He took some convincing, yes.
But he came around.
But he was a very strong proponent. And he put himself behind it and really pushed for it.
You are a founder of an organization called the Long Island Women's Suffrage Association.
Yes.
Maybe
you
could give us a little bit of... how does somebody become involved with that if they'd like to?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
To
work on the centennials, I was looking for a way that I could get some funding, and the only way you can, one of the few ways you can get funding is if you're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. So I decided to start this corporation, and I went to the New York State. You have to get a First, you have to get qualified by New York State as a nonprofit, and then you have to go to the federal government and apply to be a 501c3. And so that's what I did. I did it because I wanted to get funding. And I have worked with other organizations, and we have gotten funding for some rallies and some parades and things like that. So that's basically. And then I have a website. I try to list things that are going on about suffrage on Long Island, other people speaking engagements, exhibits, anything that I can think of that might be of interest to people regarding suffrage, I put on my website.
Yeah, what's the website?
It's longislandwomansuffrage.com.
I know I saw a Facebook page.
Yes, I also have a Facebook page.
Right. So you're right up there. Not only are you a writer,
but
you're a social media.
Yes. Well, you have to. I mean,
you do.
You want to appeal to the younger people, too.
No doubt. So. Now, let's talk for a minute about the books you did write. I know you have several. Maybe let us know, because it would always be nice if somebody bought one of your books. And the fact is that you've committed a tremendous amount of energy to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think we were entitled you to talk about your books
and try to
sell some books.
The first one was called More Than Petticoats, Remarkable New York Women. And that was back in 1999, I think that was published. And then they asked me to do Connecticut Women, which I did, More Than Petticoats. It was a series on women. And the Globe Pequot Press had the, they wanted to have all 50 states represented. I don't know if they've quite gotten there yet, but they have quite a few. And then after that, I did a book on the women's suffrage movement, Long Island and the women's suffrage movement. And the reason that came about was because while I was doing all this research for the other books, I came across so many women suffragists on Long Island that were unsung heroines. We really didn't think of Long Island as a hotbed of social change, but really a lot of the women who were very influential in the movement lived on Long Island. And one of the reasons is because a lot of them lived in Manhattan, and they had summer homes on Long Island, and a lot of the banking and the publicity, the newspapers, were located in this area. So that's why I started researching the suffragists, and I found just a whole treasure trove of women on Long Island that had worked for suffrage. So that's how that came about.
Now, if somebody wants to get one of these books, I would assume you can go like to Amazon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Put your name in.
Yes.
Antonio, A-N-T.
Antonia.
Petrash, P-Petrash, P-E-T-R-A-S-H.
Right.
And you'll get the information on the books and make good reading.
Thank you.
It's good to learn. All right.
But I just wanted to say one other thing about voting. You know, we talk about now we're having the centennial. We've had the right to vote for so long. But rights can be taken away. And rights can be changed. They can be lessened. We always have to be very vigilant to make sure that we keep working for it. You know, we've seen even recently that there have been attempts to restrict voting rights in other parts of the country. We really have to be vigilant and really keep reminding people to stay vigilant and to stay active and to vote.
What is the percentage of women voting in the United States nowadays?
It's about 51%.
Wow.
Women vote more votes than men. But they are more than 50% of the population.
Right.
They're 51%. But there's apathy among women, too. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, what do I have to vote for? I really am not concerned with what's going on. And you say, even to vote for a local person, sometimes the local people have more influence over your life than the people on the wider stage. You know, where your local representative, your representative in Congress in the state, even on your own city council, they have so much influence on your life, more so than other people. So it's important to just be involved and educate yourself of what's going on.
I think those are the magic words, educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go by just what one, there's not a political show, so don't necessarily go by what one party says.
No, absolutely
go
not.
Go by what you think is the right thing, whether it be this party or that party.
And the parties change. You know, Theodore Roosevelt was a Republican, but he was a very progressive person. So his tenets that he believed were more of what we think of Democrats today. So the party's platforms changed over the years, too.
As the people change.
As the people change. Right. So, no, you shouldn't just go by the party. You should educate yourself to the issues and what's important to you and who you think would best represent you. I know I'm on my soapbox. But
that's
speaking
right.
of soapboxes,
that's
the suffragists used to have actual soapboxes.
Mm-hmm.
They would carry them around town and plop them on the street corner and climb on their soapbox.
I've seen pictures
of
that.
Union Square in Manhattan used to be a place where I recall, I didn't, maybe I did see a soapbox, I don't know, but I remember being there in the early 50s, and there were people standing on boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they weren't soapboxes, but they
were
boxes
the metaphor
that raised them a little
from.
Above the crowd, if you will, to stand on the box.
Or they'd stand in their car. If they had an open car, they'd stand in their car. They would just stand anywhere they could. They were very brave.
I think a major message out of your visit is that women have the right to vote. Young ladies should, like Victoria, who's here with us, and Christina, should make sure they vote and pass that word on as
Absolutely.
Time marches on, because a lot of people paid some heavy prices. There's one movie that I wanted to ask you about real quick. There was a movie with a lady who got locked up in some kind of an iron thing.
Iron-jawed angels.
Wasn't
locked up. She was locked up in prison, but they called them iron-jawed angels because they force-fed them, and they put a iron clamp on their mouths when they force-fed them.
I actually, after you were on here once, I actually looked at that movie, and I passed it on to my daughters as well.
Yes, it's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
It's starring Hilary Swank. Came out in 2004. It is on YouTube, and it is a very accurate depiction of the American suffrage movement.
Yeah, I mean, it really paints the picture. Mm-hmm. And I thank you so much, because I'm now getting the high sign. Antonia.
Well, thank you for having me.
For
I appreciate
here.
It.
Thank you very much.
It's a good message to get out there, and it should not be taken for granted. So we now will take a break.